We note an anniversary. 5 years ago, welfare reform became law in the United States. Public assistance is no longer an entitlement. It's a temporary program aimed at helping people find work. Since former President Clinton signed that law, welfare rolls have declined overall by more than 50%. But the number of cases has shrunk more slowly in cities, and now for the first time, most families on welfare are urban and non-white. Experts say this change in demographics has implications for helping families in need and for political support for welfare programs. Ina Jaffe has the first of a series of reports here on NPR News.
The East Los Angeles housing project that Josephine Verdugo calls home is miles from the ocean she loves, so she makes do with the aquarium tank in her kitchen.
What's so great about an aquarium, when you have so many problems, or even there's times when I want to cry, and I'll come in here and I'll sit down and listen to the water, and it's so relaxing, an aquarium.
With all her problems, Josephine Verdugo must spend a lot of time listening to the water and watching her fish. She's 44 years old, and she's been on welfare most of the time since the late 1970s. That's when she split up with her husband, the father of her first five children. She's mother to eight altogether. Four of them still live at home.
I started just having kids, and that's like when your whole life stops. Believe me, if I had to do it all over again, I would never, you know, get on welfare, because you know you got that money coming, so you don't really try. That's how I look at it.
But under welfare reform, recipients are required to try. Josephine's been working community service jobs while applying for real full-time work, but she's been rejected time and time again. Now she's facing the 5-year lifetime limit that federal law places on welfare clients. Her time is up in November, though California, unlike most states, will still give her some money for her children. A couple of weeks ago, she nearly landed a clerical job with the county. She'd passed the test. She had her heart set on it. But at the last minute, she was turned down because of her criminal record.
It was for a petty theft. Well, actually, it was two petty thefts, and then I had a DUI. But that was like years ago. But it was dumb, you know? It was things I shouldn't have even did, but I don't know. I guess the worst got the worst to me, right?
Stories like Josephine's are not uncommon for welfare clients in big cities, says Gordon Berlin of the Nonpartisan Manpower Demonstration Research Corporation.
The 10 largest urban areas in the country now account for about a third of the national welfare caseload. And the main reason for that is that the job market isn't as strong often in big urban areas. Secondly, they have larger concentrations of people with more barriers that are less employable and require more services in order to overcome those barriers.
Those barriers to employment include physical or mental health problems, lack of transportation, a large number of kids, or, like Josephine, a criminal record. In Los Angeles County, there are well over 200,000 families on welfare. That's more than in 48 of the 50 states. And even in regions where the number of welfare cases is fairly small, cities often bear the greatest burden. In Wisconsin, for example, nearly 80% of the state's welfare clients live in Milwaukee. Still, Mayor John Norquist says that under welfare reform, conditions have improved.
For example, in our public housing, we used to have 19% of the households in our public housing in Milwaukee had a full-time job in the household. It's now over 80%.
But not everyone has thrived under welfare reform. Nationally, more than 40% who leave the system do not report having jobs when they go. Often they leave after being penalized repeatedly for failing to comply with welfare reform's strict rules. In Milwaukee, social service providers report increased demand on food pantries and homeless shelters.
If you look around here, every single house in this area is boarded up.
This neighborhood in North Milwaukee was where Gene Verber found some of the families who dropped off Wisconsin's welfare rolls. Some of the boarded-up buildings she points to appear to have people living in them on the upper floors. Verber conducted a study earlier this year for the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee to find out how some of these former welfare families survived with neither government aid nor steady jobs.
They got a loan from a friend. People went fairly regularly to give blood or plasma. A lot of them were living with other than their own families because they had not a regular income for rent, living in strange places just to survive because they really and truly didn't know what else to do.
Jean Verber and other advocates for the poor would like welfare reform programs to find better ways of reaching the most troubled clients before they drop out or get thrown out. But welfare expert Gordon Berlin says that new programs require political support, and that support may be weakened if welfare becomes viewed as an urban issue.
Big cities in these big states often have kind of suburban-urban divisions among the state legislators. As long as welfare continues to be increasingly concentrated in the big urban areas, those divisions are going to continue and I think be exacerbated. I'm worried about sustaining the political support required and the funding levels required in order to continue to provide the services that low-income populations in big cities are going to need.
In East Los Angeles, Josephine Verdugo is happy with the services she's received from her welfare reform program. What she's still looking for is an employer willing to forgive her for the misdeeds of her past, quick, before her welfare clock runs out.
To me, I just have bad luck. I mean, it's not really bad luck. It's things, it's my fault because things that I did in the past, but I don't feel that they should really hold that against me because it's not real bad things.
Over the next year, at least 200,000 welfare clients nationwide could reach their lifetime limits on federal assistance. Then it'll be up to the states to decide which families merit extensions and which should be left to fend for themselves. Most of the families whose fates hang on that decision will be in America's major cities, because now that's where most welfare recipients live. Ina Jaffe, NPR News.